Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download it wherever you get your apps for your phone, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, your favorite WILK News Radio. Well, you search for us first, and then you favorite us, and then you can listen to us anywhere, anytime, any place. Great little thing there for free. All for free. So the Roman Catholic Church has its new pope. The white smoke was announced while I was listening to the radio, just as I was pulling into our area AAA to transfer my truck over to my daughter. Happy graduation. Thank you for your service. But they said the white smoke was coming, and that was just the start of it. And then after that was done, I came straight to work, and then they announced who it was. You know, here while I was sitting in the office, I was watching it. Robert Francis Prevost, my namesake, took the name Pope Leo the 14th. Pope Leo the 14th. He's from Chicago, Illinois, America's first ever pope. How you read into that, I don't know. He was in a very high position. Pope Francis did elevate him to the Vatican. And a lot of people thought that he was the, not rightful choice, but very well in position to become the next pope. But because he was an American, they figured, no, it was not going to happen. And again, this is the first time it's happened in American history. And the pope did speak, and he spoke in Italian, he spoke in Latin, and he spoke in Spanish. He did not speak in English, though, which I find odd, and it may just be me, being America's first pope. You know, not saying at least a few words in English, but it's his thing now. It's his show. So whatever he chooses to do, and there's already the back and forth on social media, and yes, there's prior ex posts from the former cardinal, now pope, that make some people go, it's kind of a leftist type attitude, but then there's people who've already pulled his voter registration, say he's a registered Republican, and he votes Republican. So, immediately we insert American politics into this issue. He did wear a more traditional outfit when he presented himself to his flock, to the public. Choosing his name, does it have any significance? I guess he will tell us. He does come from an area of Chicago that it's not known for being the most upstanding, but he has served around the world. He has served in Peru. He was back in the Chicago diocese. He was in the Vatican, in Rome. So, I guess time will only tell, right? We'll see where he stands. The more he speaks to us, the more he instills his, I guess it is a rule to you or I, his rule, but is it really? His presence. Let's say that, because I will have my Roman Catholic friends say, well, that's not the proper terminology. It's not really rule. His presence. When he instills his presence on the Roman Catholic Church, we'll see what that means. For most people, it's not. Listen, it was something to see. I'll be honest with you. I was born and raised Roman Catholic. I am Roman Catholic. I have all my sacraments. My kids have all their sacraments. I've kind of become disenfranchised with the Roman Catholic Church. It doesn't mean I've become disenfranchised with God or with the teachings. I read the Bible every day. It's just, I think the organization as a whole, and maybe it's just my perspective, has gone in different directions that don't align with me. And some will say maybe I should align with them. Well, it's my free will, I guess. And, I've talked about with my family, my wife, or everybody else is gone, maybe finding a non-denominational or something like that, that we just think more. And it's interesting because I went back to my church. This is going back probably 7-8 years ago. We weren't attending regular church services. So we decided, hey, let's start going back. It's a good thing to have a higher being in your life. And again, I do read the Bible each day. I have my daily devotional I read each morning. I did take it upon myself, you know, probably 8 or 9 years ago to read the Bible cover to cover, both the New and Old Testament, because, you know, I wanted to read the differences for myself. And yes, you can go on your iPad and say, you know, what's the difference between this verse and this verse and this verse? You know, I read it from cover to cover. I took the time to do that because that's what I wanted to do. And I highlighted a whole lot of it. I posted note even more of it. If you know, I think I've posted a picture of my Bible where there's just nothing but post-it notes all through it. Because when something stands out at me, when there's a verse or a phrase or a passage that I like, you know, I highlight it because I want to go back to it. And I'll write a little handwritten note of what it meant to me on the post-it, and I can go back and look at that from time to time. If you know I'm in the mood or if something's going on in my life, I'll pull it out and read it. But you know, a couple of years ago, we made the conscious decision to go back. And we went back, and we were sitting in church. And the I won't say which church or which pastor. Actually, the pastor's no longer there. But he took it upon himself to stop the Mass. I mean, literally, in the middle of the Mass, stopped it and scolded everyone for not being there more. And I looked at my wife, and I probably said it a little too loud because it, people did look at me when I said it. And I says, "You got to be kidding me. You know, I make it a point to come back to church and I'm getting scolded. This is not why I'm here." And it's just that's the kind of that I took. And he wasn't scolding me. He was just scolding the church as a whole. Participation is down in the Roman Catholic Church. It's been down for a various of reasons. You know, them inserting themselves in things that I don't think are the church's issues and pushing that is probably a big part of that. But I did watch what just took place today. I watched the pomp and circumstance. I saw the people there. You could see the emotion in Pope Leo XIV's eyes, formerly Robert Francis Prevost Cardinal. You could see the emotion and the overwhelmingness in his face, in his eyes, in his emotion, and the people around him, the people who must have been there for days in the front row. You know, the priests, the nuns, the members of the church, the different ranks of the church, you know, and tens of thousands of people from around the world being there, waving all different flags. You know, it was something that was special. And you could look at it however you want. If you're not a religious person, then it means very little to you. If you're a religious person but not Roman Catholic, you know, some of you have reached out and said, "Hey, I'm not even Roman Catholic, and this was a very nice day." That's the point of the day. That's what it's supposed to be. And I guess we'll see what type of leader, what type of shepherd the new pope will be, and only time will tell that. And again, you could look back at posts on his X account where he showed support for George Floyd, where he scolded Vice President J.D. Vance about something that he said, or where he scolded America but this was back in 2017, about its immigration policies. Then you look at the other side of it and say, well, he's been a staunch conservative on a lot of church issues, so I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt, and let's see where this goes. Let's see what road this new pope, Pope Leo XIV, takes. And, you know, it is historic that we have the first American pope ever. It was very short voting. It was either the third or fourth. I don't know if they've determined which it was. It was either the third or fourth vote. Some seemed to think it was the fourth. I thought it was the third, and then some of the news agencies I was listening to said it was either the third or fourth. They're not sure. And, you know, they'll get that from the Vatican later. But that's very quick. I mean, in history, this has taken days, weeks, sometimes even years. More recently, it's been happening very quickly. So was there an idea in these 133 cardinals to where, you know, they knew who they wanted to lead the church? And again, to pick an American, and it's never happened before. So it's unusual. It was unlikely, but, you know, here we are. So now you have American Roman Catholics. You have they were just interviewing the Diocese of Chicago, which I'm sure is excited. The Pope is a graduate of Villanova University. I know you Villanova graduates that have already chimed in on social media. So, you know, this is a milestone for the Roman Catholic Church. It's a milestone for Christians around the world. And I guess only time will tell where this leads us. I think just like everything else, this individual is not going to make everyone happy. No one ever does. And that's part of being human, right? That's part of the heirs of who we are as a being. So we'll see how this goes forward, but it was quite something to witness and watch it. I had it on my screen in my office, and I sat there and watched it. And I'm glad they brought it on to you live. You know, probably not what you were expecting to listen to today, but it was part of history. So, take it in, and we'll see where it goes from here, right? I'm sure there'll be plenty of criticisms, because that's what the world we live in today. Over the next couple of days, like I said, there is already on social media, well, look at these posts on X that he either reposted or posted themselves, and look, he's a registered Republican, and he's voted Republican. How can we have faith in this? Leave your politics aside. It's between you and God. This is the person that those elected, those who have been appointed, have chosen. Let's see where it goes, right? The other big news of the day that I was actually going to start with, I was going to talk about the Pope later on today, or the conclave later on today, was this agreement with the UK, where Trump has confirmed this major trade deal with the UK. Now, this isn't a holistic deal. It's on the major issues, steel, auto tariffs, and such like that. So it is a very targeted, specific mutual agreement that works out very well for both nations. And that was the whole point of this. But it's not a sweeping trade deal for everything. So let's make that clear and direct. This does not cover all goods between the UK and US. It's more specific to autos, steel, and the major issues when it comes to tariffs. But there are still plenty of issues with agricultural and food, because they have much different food standards than we do. They do not take certain type of beef that's treated a certain way, or chicken that's treated a certain way. So that still needs to be worked out. But you know what? To be honest with you, maybe we should stop treating our beef and our chicken with those ways. And we should have our food more in line with European bases. Now, the thing with that is our food only lasts 2 or 3 days then. The shelf life, you are giving up shelf life for healthier food. I'm willing to do that. A lot of people aren't. It will make a big ding in our big box stores, where you buy loads and loads of food that sits on a shelf and can sit on a shelf. You know, if you've ever traveled to Europe or other parts of the world or South America, you know, when you get milk, the milk only lasts 2 days, maybe 3 days. Past that, it's starting to spoil. Our milk here lasts a little longer because it's treated differently. Same thing with all their foods, their breads. You know, they use less preservatives and less chemicals and less dyes and less things that help sustain the food longer, again, for a shelf life, maybe make it look nicer, but it's not as healthy. So maybe we should start looking into that. And it looks like we are, if you listen to our new HHS secretary and from that avenue of things. And maybe that helps more trade. Maybe it's better off we eat healthier to begin with. I mean, in fact, I think we all can agree it's better off we eat healthier. And it's just not picking the things that we eat, you know, get your greens, get your lean meats, and get your stuff like that. It needs to be prepared from the field to your table better. And that takes a lot more than just choosing the right things while you're at the supermarket. It's from its creation to getting to the supermarket, where all the problems take place. It's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show.